Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Cutting bureaucratic waste and focusing on core services are two of the goals Mark Crockett says he can bring to the Salt Lake County Mayor's office. The former county councilman is now looking to return to county government and is seeking the Republican nomination to run for mayor. He brings not only his county experience to the race, but his background in management consulting and small business as well. Where would he lead the county, and how could he improve how the county does business? Mark Crockett joins me now in the studio to discuss his campaign. Mark, it's good to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thanks very much.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for Salt Lake County Mayor candidate Mark Crockett. Call 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. You can also send your questions to us on Twitter, right at KCBW. Well, Mark, there was speculation you were going to run for county mayor even back in 2008. How long have you had your eye on running for this job?
Well, I have envied what the county mayor is able to do for a long time. I know a lot of people think about the county with different words starting with, huh, what does it do,
right,
to tar pit? But there are a lot of really exciting things, and the decision to run officially was not very long ago, but there are a lot of great things to do with that job.
So why run specifically for the county mayor's seat instead of, say, the legislature, for example, city council, whole host of positions to go for, but why this one?
I think that goes to what does the county do versus what do cities do and what do states do. And a lot of people don't really know what the county does, so maybe if I can just spend a moment on that.
Sure.
The state is really responsible primarily for education, for large-scale transportation, for prisons, people that we're really scared of, things like that. The cities are responsible for public safety, fire, police, local roads, planning and zoning. The county, its core services really go to the human services, people who need help but aren't yet scary to us. So mental health programs, the jails, the Meals on Wheels programs for elderly, the youth programs. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that really touch people's lives out in the community. And we still run them largely like we did about 40 years ago in many respects. And so there are a lot of very exciting things that we could do that really touch the lives of the people here in the community.
And we'll go into that in a little bit more in depth later. Before we talk about your history on the Salt Lake County Council and your government experience, tell me a little bit about what you do right now in the private sector and your business experience.
Sure. What I do is help large organizations, typically larger than the county, work with all of their stakeholders. In the language of politics, it's effectively work with all the stakeholders to come up with lots of specific ways that you can, in business terms, then cut cost or increase revenue. But bringing it back to the community, it's free up resources and redeploy them into higher uses. And we do that I've been doing that for probably 15 years, and it always seems to work as long as you get all the right people involved and in the right framework. And we've done it a little bit for government before, and it works there too.
So do you think that business experience translates into what you would need to be county mayor? For example, in the presidential race right now, we see people criticizing Mitt Romney saying, you know, you might have your business experience, but that doesn't translate into being president. You know, government and business are two totally different things. What are your thoughts on that?
I think the answer to that is yes and no. Business does not translate directly in as much as it's not a profit enterprise and shouldn't
right.
be. We do things sometimes that are inefficient because it's important to have people's involvement and because we're all collectively making a decision. It also is not as easy as just to stand up one day and say, we're going this way. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people who need to get on board and to appreciate why as well as where we're going. At the same time, people who can solve problems, people who can bring people together and lay out a plan, hold each other accountable and drive things through to completion, those are useful skills that I think translate.
You're listening to Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is former Salt Lake County Councilman Mark Crockett. He is now a Republican candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor. The number to call to join us on the air, 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255, with your questions and comments, or tweet them to KCPW. Well, Mark, you were on the Salt Lake County Council from 2004 to 2008, serving one term there representing the east side of the valley. What accomplishments do you think people will remember you completing during that time?
I think people will probably have remembered me more for my attempts to slow things down, like the investment in the Stalker Stadium and other investments. But the things that I think are most noteworthy for going forward are I was a strong advocate that we put in place a new data system that would allow us around the jail and other programs that would allow us over time to start creating learning models for us to more effectively match people and programs together. That data program is now in place, but was not being used to its full potential yet. I mean, it'll take years for that to occur, but we're now positioned to do more interesting things over time. Similarly, the mental health program, which used to be one single program that was almost $90 million, is now broken up into smaller parts, and we're getting interesting, innovative proposals coming into the county. And again, tying that to a learning model over time, I think we're positioned to do some very interesting things.
You mentioned the soccer stadium. You know, that's always been a contentious issue in Utah, this, you know, public taxpayer dollars being used for private investments. Is that something that you're against in general?
I'm skeptical in general. I think that when we take tax dollars from a lot of people and channel them into one particular place or to one particular entity, we should be very, very skeptical about whether the return to everybody in the county, in this case, would merit that investment. And oftentimes I think that that doesn't pencil out, and the way people describe the math is often a bit self-deceiving.
So what are your thoughts then on how the county can, you know, go about economic development? That's a very important issue. You know, Governor Herbert's been doing it on the state level, often with these controversial tax credits that, that people say are inappropriate, especially for these larger companies. What are your thoughts on, you know, economic development in the county and competing for those jobs that could go to Utah County or somewhere else?
Yeah, the biggest issue here, I think, is maybe what government should not do. I mean, we've spent too much time with one city competing against another city for the Albertsons or now, you know, Walmart or whatever else. And that's just deadweight loss for us to compete in that way. Also, I'm not sure that local governments do a great job of setting up the huge facility that everybody should come in. In some ways, we should just make it simpler for people to show up. But we are losing out because we aren't coordinating very well across Salt Lake County. And so, indeed, we are losing out to other counties. And it would be nice to have a more coordinated approach.
So, Mark, you say you can save millions of dollars from the county's budget by cutting waste, better management, and more efficiency. Where do you think you would improve upon the millions that actually have been cut already under the Caroon administration?
Yeah, I think there are effectively two different ways. I mean, since this is what I've done with lots and lots of organizations, there are kind of two ways. When budget crisis happens, people tighten their belt and throw furniture out the window. And eventually you run out of furniture and you cut off the blood supply. And so you can't keep going about it that way. But what I do know is that there are over 4,000 really remarkable employees at the county. And there are tens and tens of thousands of users of county services who actually know exactly how those programs are working and how they're not. My experience is that if you bring those people together and ask in the right framework, in a, maybe a compressed time frame, but you ask the right questions systematically, there are always just lots and lots of ways to change the way we do things. You simplify a process, you reprioritize a program, you come up with ways to improve service levels that oftentimes free up time, and then you have time that you can redeploy. So I think that's the approach, and my observation is that it always works.
So do you see waste somewhere, though, in the county budget right now that you would point out and say, there's millions of dollars that we don't need to be spending, there's where we can cut back on employees or cut back on something else?
I think that in the administrative components and in the mayor's office, our current mayor did a great job on the front end of shrinking it, but it's kind of grown. You know, there are always going to be those administrative type functions, but I don't think it's about one particular pocket or program because the programs are good. And people like and appreciate them. I think this is more about a whole lot of the little things. You know, if it was that obvious, that went out the window in the furniture out the window phase. And now I think it's going to be a lot of the hard work of digging through everything we do and the way we do it. And that's usually worth at least 10, maybe 15%.
So, Mark, what do you think of the job that the incumbent who's retiring, Peter Caroon, has been doing during his two terms? You worked with him all 4 years on the council during his first term. Do you think it's been pretty good? And where would you say, you know what, this is something where we've gone in the wrong direction and I would turn it around?
I like Peter, and I appreciate how much he did to professionalize and give respectability to the county and the way it's run. I think in his efforts to be prudent, he's also allowed all of our coffers to run dry. There are no more rainy day funds, and there's also less money coming in. So we're kind of in a bind at this point. You know, that wasn't all his making, but I had advocated back in 2007 and in 2008 that we were more prudent then. And, you know, from the kinds of buildings we were building, the programs and a greater emphasis on human services. And there were some places that I thought that we could have let out more earlier and more aggressively on our real core programs. And actually, that's because we haven't done as much of that is a lot to do with why I'm running now.
This is Politics Up Close here on NPR Utah. KCBW, my guest is former Salt Lake County Councilman Mark Crockett. You can join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Mr. Crockett is a candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor. We're going to take a short break here and be right back with more Politics Up Close on KCBW. Welcome back to Politics Up Close here on NPR Utah. KCBW, I'm Jeff Robinson, speaking with former Salt Lake County Councilman Mark Crockett, who is now a GOP candidate for county mayor. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. 801-355-8255 is the number to call, or send your tweets to us. We're at KCPW. Well, Mark, another part of your campaign platform is about making sure county services don't overlap with city services. Is that happening right now? And if so, where?
The county is still, I believe, the unincorporated part of the county, I think, is still the second, and if not that, then the third largest city in the state. We have the Mill Creek area and other pockets, and we have Kearns and Magna and other pockets all the way down the south part on the west side. And one way or the other, that's been breaking up and will continue to. There's always legislation, and it seems like there's some more serious legislation to make it easier for people to annex or incorporate. Mm-hmm. The real concern there is that if, for example, Mill Creek were to become a city, and I think that there are a lot of reasons why they might want to, that potentially puts the west side, the unincorporated areas over there, in a financially untenable position. So rather than having this be piecemeal, I think it's time for the county to finally step up and help with the state create an overall plan for the future of unincorporated county, where they can finally have the voice that they need and have not really had. And also that we can start catching them up on the infrastructure that has lagged so far behind and the economic tax base that has also slipped behind the other parts of the county. And if we do this piecemeal, that's just not going to work for all of the unincorporated areas. So I think that's very key that at this point in time that the county finally steps up, instead of resisting the change, starts helping to lead the change to a total and cooperative solution there.
Do you mean all the unincorporated areas of eventually incorporate within the next couple of years? Does the county need to push them into doing that? And are there areas that perhaps if they don't want to incorporate, they shouldn't have to?
There certainly are areas that do not want to. I think the trick will be that if everybody else were to, you know, like whoever that everybody is, should be for them to decide.
Right.
But if a bunch of other things happen, then what's left behind may or may not really make financial sense. And unless we can all see all of the pieces, I think it's very hard for people to self-determine. Of course, people should self-determine if they can, but they need to do it with the full benefit of information about what the implications are from what everybody else is likely to do.
You also mentioned, Mark, avoiding state and federal subsidies. Why do you think the county shouldn't have those in its budget?
I don't remember saying that, or if we wrote it and it came across that way, we need to rewrite that.
It is on your website.
I think it's instead that the money for the human services, the county, largely comes in from – well, not largely, but in material part comes in from federal and state sources. And those amounts are not getting larger and in some cases are getting smaller. Hmm. And so we need to solve our budget issues assuming that we have to do more for ourselves and we're going to have to free up the resources from within. Maybe we need to go back and rewrite something there. But that's what I intended to communicate.
And so when it comes to the county's core services, when it comes to the things that you know people do not want to see cut, what do you think those are exactly?
The core services are the parks, many of the larger parks, the mm-hmm. recreation centers, the soccer programs for kids. We also have a lot of the cultural facilities. And if the county were to just get out of a Bravenel Hall, you know, we would, you know, we can't just – we also help with the – I've talked about before, but the mental health programs, the elderly programs, the senior center, the Meals on Wheels. We run the jail. That's the biggest expense. And so these are the basic services that if the county were to stop doing, well, there's nobody else to do them.
Let me talk about a recent controversy we've seen in the past couple of years in the county, the formation of the Unified Police Department and how that all went down with the unincorporated residents having to pay this fee that they were very unhappy about paying. In the executive role, you would be in a position to make these kinds of decisions and try to make everybody happy. Where do you think the county went wrong in that particular situation, that process?
I was very deeply involved and on the other side of the way the UPD, the Unified Police Department, came together mm-hmm. at the time. And it wasn't a mayor's decision, actually. That was mm-hmm. legislative, both at the state and at the county level. That said, I think it provides a terrific illustration of where we want to go regionally versus maybe where we don't. Mm-hmm. The UPD effectively has one person who's elected countywide running services for a smaller area that they can't pick their leader. Mm-hmm. That's problematic. They also are able to have their own taxation district that has effectively locked up the municipal a large component of the municipal services budget for unincorporated area kind of forever. And it's better, we know, going back to one of your earlier questions about government versus business. Mm-hmm. In government, we try to divide decision making and have separate accountabilities, and we do that for good reason. Mm-hmm. A better model was actually the Unified Fire Authority, where the cities are coming cooperatively together. They have a board made up of mayors. They select their leader, their executive officer, Michael Jensen, to run the UFA, and they all chip in their budgets every year. I think that's a much better model and could be used for many other services across the county.
One position that, you know, being mayor involves is going up to the state legislature, collaborating with state lawmakers, whether it's the Unified Police Department issue. You know, we saw the bill to overturn the UPD fee. The county wasn't happy with how the legislature was involved in that issue. Do you think you'd be in a good position as mayor to, if necessary, do battle with the legislature on issues like the soccer stadium or whatever future things might come up?
What I think is needed there is what I've talked about with the cities and the unincorporated areas, that's really been a dividing place where the cities have felt like the county is competing with them. And the county has been at cross purposes with where the majority of the people up at the legislature have wanted to go. If instead we were all on the same strategy, I think that would really open the door for better relationships with the state. And also, I think historically we have not really taken a bipartisan approach to our lobbying at the legislature or working with them. And I think we need to have effectively a Democratic correspondent and a Republican correspondent who's actively in person, not hiring other lobbyists, but in person up there working with them. I think that would that both of those two things would go a long way to make our relationship better and maybe even start helping us get fewer of our dollars sucked out of the county into other parts of the state.
This is Politics Up Close here on NPR Utah. KCBW talking with former Salt Lake County Councilman Mark Crockett. For the next few minutes, he is a GOP candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor. Well, Mark, you're one of four Republicans running for county mayor right now. It's a crowded field, and all the candidates are pretty well-known, pretty experienced. What is your strategy for winning at the county convention coming up in the spring?
What I hope it becomes about is the issues. Mm-hmm. If we think about the national election, you know, there's also, if it were a different year, we might have conversations about what it means to be a liberal or a progressive or a moderate. Right mm-hmm. now, the dialogue's, what is it to be a conservative? I think the candidates in the GOP race for county mayor provide an amazing illustration of the same point on a local level. Mm-hmm. You know, should a city be out there trying to subsidize a local hotel? You know, how do we deal with tax increases relative to freeing up resources from within? How do, you know, what is the role of government in providing infrastructure? All of the issues that we've already surfaced are actually answered very differently among at least some of these GOP contenders. And I think that that ought to be the, I'm hoping that that will be the dialogue is, you know, what should we really, what approach should we really take in local government?
And referring to a city subsidizing a hotel, I'm pretty sure you're referring to West Valley Mayor Mike Winder there. Is that something then that you would, you know, stand in stark contrast to against Mayor Winder?
Yeah, I just can't see how that makes sense.
Do you plan to bring up the Richard Burwash issue, I must ask, or will you leave that to others?
That's for others people to bring up. I mean, yeah.
Do you think you would be competitive against the Democratic candidate in the race, whether it be State Senator Ben McAdams or Senate Minority Leader Ross Romero? Salt Lake County, you know, right now the trend seems to be overall Republican, but at the same time, clearly in, you know, 2008 it favored the Democrats. Would you be competitive in a race?
I know Ross and Ben and respect and like them both. I think it would be a really, really good race. I think you know, whether it's fair or not, a lot of it may be driven by national election turnout. That said, I think that would be the demographics are about evenly split and between Republicans and Democrats on a countywide level and, you know, within a few percentage points. So I think it'd be a very good race.
What attracts you to the Republican Party and makes you a Republican candidate in this race?
Well, as a lot of my friends would say, we really would like to vote for a Republican if ever we could find one. I think the difference between the parties should not be about whether we want society to be better. We all want the same basic things about happiness and freedom and opportunity and family. These are the things that we all care about. The difference between the parties really is more about how do you get there? And there are more points in the at least what the Republican Party says about that, that appeal to me. I think it's better to, if we were to pick a national illustration, I think 300 million Americans are always going to be smarter than 535 people in Congress. Mm-hmm. And so the more we can free things up for people to do things and realize that real life doesn't happen in government, but government is merely helping everybody else with their life. You know, I'm not sure that that's really where the Republican Party goes, but because they say that, I'm still trying there.
And, Mark, we just have a few minutes left. This isn't your first campaign, as we've talked about. You served on the county council from 2004 to 2008. But can I ask, why do you think you lost your reelection bid in 2008?
I would love to say that it was because people were mad about my stance on the soccer stadium or any number of other things. We went back and looked at the math, and actually with my race, with Carlene Walker and a number of other Republicans who lost along the east side, it turned out that it was just a turnout problem. My opponent had really no different number of votes different than my previous opponent, but I had 8,000 fewer, and it was consistent across the entire east bench. McCain Obama race just didn't bring Republicans out.
No. Do you think the fact that you lost your election might make you a less appealing candidate for GOP delegates? You know, we have Richard Snellgrove. He won a countywide race just back in 2010. He probably is going to make that case to the delegates there.
I imagine he will. I don't know that it's really the main issue. I think it's maybe there's an issue of who can win this time. But what it really should be is not about winning, but doing the job, right? Who is going to be able to actually, within the budget that we have, go out and execute on the basic core functions of what the county does and the amazing things that we could do there, and also in a more constructive way, bring all of the county together on the places where we should and can share.
And finally, Mark, let's talk about leadership for our last couple of minutes here. Where do you think you've demonstrated, either in your county experience or in the private sector, that you're good at, getting people to listen to you, to be, blunt, or getting people at least to come to the table and see what your position is and maybe agree with it?
Yeah. Well, and maybe there's a distinction between an executive job and a legislative job.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was on the county council at times, it kind of felt to me as the person to, slow down the train or to speak up about, philosophy or whatever else. In an executive role, that's where I spent most of my life and career, is helping people actually change the organizations. And I can just point to place over and over again where it's not because I'm magic, but I'm able to bring the people together in a cooperative way and just incrementally make things better and better over time. So,
we have been speaking with Mark Crockett. He is a Republican candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor, running against Gary Ott, Richard Snellgrove, and West Valley City Mayor Mike Winder on the Democratic side, we have Senators Ben McAdams and Ross Romero. Mark Crockett, thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future as this campaign continues to progress.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Politics Up Close here on NPR Utah, KCPW. We'll be right back.